Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylus Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Okay, big, huge trigger warning on this.
Big one.
This one is...
She's a lot.
Yeah, he's a shit. So this is about Robert Eugene Brasher. Normally, I like to name the episodes about the victim, but there are so many victims that we're going to have to name it after him.
If you are a follower of true crime cases, you are probably familiar with the one that got him caught.
Yes. But literally just this year in 2025, one of his crimes from 1991.
How's that say? It was early 90s.
Was actually just solved. So Robert Brashers was born in Virginia. His family moved to Huntsville, Alabama. None of that really matters. He kind of bounces all around. He's reportedly had no problems with the law in his teenage years. Didn't use drugs or alcohol. At some point, he enlisted in the Army or Navy. This is a steamboat, so I don't know which one. But he did that for several years. In the early 1980s, he sold his house in Louisiana, and he moved to Fort Myers, Florida. So his crimes that we know of, because there is no way this man has been caught for everything. But they started in fall of 1985, and he was arrested in Port St. Lucie for assaulting a 24-year-old woman named Michelle Wilkerson. So according to police, that November, he met her and convinced her to come to a bar with him. Well, they spent the evening there for a while, and they had been drinking. So he took her into a dark alleyway near a citrus grove where, after drinking six Budweisers together, he attempted to make sexual advances towards her, and she refused.
Which I assume he did not take kindly to.
And when she tried to leave the vehicle, he shot her twice in the neck and the head.
Oh,
despite this, she remained conscious and managed to leave the car and hid in a culvert under the road.
This gives me Gary Ridgway vibes.
Yeah, honestly, very. He lost track of her. He couldn't find her. So he went to the beach and threw his gun into the ocean. And when he was attempting to leave, his truck got stuck in the sand. So then he started
walking. Serves you right, bitch.
Right. So she made her way to an apartment building and she described him in the car to police officers, and he was actually caught pretty quickly after this. And he was charged with attempted first-degree murder, aggravated battery, and using a firearm during the commission of a crime. He was sentenced to 12 years imprisonment, but he was granted parole by May 5th, 1989, which is only 4 years later, mind you. So,
how... Literally could have been prevented if you would have just left that fucker in jail.
Literally. Yes. Sometime between then and in the early 90s, he actually gets married. He has a daughter, 92, and him and his wife adopt two little girls. This is at the beginning of the story. So, yeah.
Hey, adoption agency. Maybe do some background checks first.
Right. Yes.
You stupid fucks.
So he is released in May of 1989. By April of 1990, 28-year-old Jenny Zitricki was killed in her Greenville, South Carolina apartment. She was recently divorced and she was living alone. While she was sleeping, her killer gained entry through a sliding glass door of her patio and attacked her in what the FBI described as a blitz attack. She had been bludgeoned, raped, and strangled with pantyhose.
My God.
After being murdered, the killer drug her body into the bathtub and submerged it before writing, "Don't suck with my family" on the bathroom mirror.
So he's trying to throw him off.
Yes.
Basically.
February 18th of 1992, he was arrested in Cobb County, Georgia, but not for this murder. He was arrested for grand theft auto.
Oh, okay.
While they were searching his vehicle and his apartment, they found a radio scanner, a police jacket, lockpicking tools, and a fake Tennessee driver's license. So he
did. A police jacket?
Yes. So that makes me believe that that's probably what he had used to assault some women at some point.
That was my guess. Also, yes. PSA, if you are getting pulled over by an unmarked car, do not pull over. You call the police, you know, entity, whether it's city or county, whichever one you're in, and you ask them, am I being pulled over right now? And they will tell you yes or no.
Safety first.
Safety first, guys.
Well, this motherfucker didn't want to do like a huge prison sentence again. So he did a plea deal with the prosecution and pleaded guilty to the most serious charges so that the rest of them would be dropped. And he was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment, which he actually did the entire thing and was released in February of 1997.
Of course he was.
Well, by March of 1998, in Missouri, Sherry and Megan Scherer were shot with a .22 caliber gun in their farmhouse, and 12-year-old Megan had been sexually assaulted. 2 hours later, and 40 miles away on the same day, a woman was in Dyersburg, and a man tried to break into her house, so she fought with the attacker, and he shot her through the door of her mobile home, but she lived.
Oh, wow.
So in 1998, he was attempted trying to break into the home of a woman that he had been employed by her on a previous occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking maybe doing just like little side jobs. But he had cut the wires leading into her home for her phone. And he was armed at the time of his arrest. And in his possession, a video camera and locksmithing tools were seized from him.
Oh, wow.
He was taken into custody, but was later released when someone posted his bail.
So he just stays having extra shit.
Yes. January 1999, police officers noted that a stolen vehicle had been parked in the parking lot of the Super 8 Motel in Kennett, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And after they talked to the motel employees, they realized that Brashers and his family, his wife, his daughters, all of them, had been in the vehicle just a few days before. So they broke down the door to their motel room and they found him hiding under the bed with a loaded gun. And when they tried to arrest him, he resisted and started shooting at them. And so they retreat outside and they call for backup.
Yeah.
So the motel gets surrounded. He takes his wife, daughter, and two adopted stepdaughters as hostages.
So he's taking his own
family. Kids. Yes.
Okay.
So 4 hours later, he released them and shot himself in the head. He actually lived for 6 days, but died January 19th.
So basically, he was in ICU.
So his name was kind of just forgotten about until 2018 when genealogist C.C. Moore, who my mom loves, was able to identify him through genetic genealogy as the suspect of 3 murders and several rapes all the way back to 1990.
Okay.
They filed the prosecutors from New Madrid County and Pemiscot County. Anyway, Prosecutors from Missouri filed a motion to exhume his body to get additional DNA. So then they had it not just genetically, but like, or genealogy, but like from him.
Yeah. They got him. Got him.
His profile was linked to the murder of the 28-year-old Jenny from Greenville, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. From DNA that they actually got in 1995 and had uploaded to CODIS.
Okay.
He was actually living in Greenville, not far from her home at the time. So got him there.
The first one they got him on.
Yes. Then they linked him to the double murder of Sherry and Megan off of her sexual assault kit.
Okay.
So then, you remember the 2 hours later, the woman was shot in Dyersburg, Tennessee. They did not have any biological evidence because she fought him off. But whenever they checked the ballistics, it actually was the same gun used on Megan and Sherry. During all this, they also linked him to a March 1997 rape of a 14-year-old girl in Middle Tennessee.
Oh, a 14-year-old.
So you would think this is where the story ends. Like, that man was fucking monstrous, right?
Nope, there's more.
One of the first true crime podcasts I ever listened to was the Yogurt Shop Murders on Crime Junkie with Ashley Flowers. Yep. Within this past week, Robert Brashers has been identified as the man who killed 13-year-old Amy Ayers, 15-year-old Sarah Harbison, 17-year-old Eliza Thomas, and 17-year-old Jennifer Harbison at the I Can't Believe It's Yogurt Shop on the night of December 6, 1991, most widely known as the Yogurt Shop Murders. He had shot all four of those girls and set the entire restaurant on fire, but he had actually sexually assaulted one of those girls, and even then they thought, had the wherewithal, DNA wasn't where it is now, but they had the wherewithal then to do a rape test on them.
Yeah.
And that is what...
And luckily, it was preserved enough where they could still get that DNA.
So he has actually been... And there were actually people... I did not realize this until I was, like, looking into this. There was actually two people that had claimed... Prosecutors claimed they confessed to it. Mm-hmm. And they actually were taken into jail for a little bit, but in 2009, yeah, their convictions were overturned.
It's actually kind of crazy because I recently watched the documentary on the Yogurt Shop Murder.
I love the way
this
they
came
did.
Out. And I was like,
I love the way they did that documentary. Mm-hmm. Me and Yuri still talk about it. I wish they did more documentaries, yes, like that. I, yes, loved the way it was
that
set up.
That manager broke my heart.
That was so sad.
The fact that she carries guilt over that.
Yes.
That she was there instead of them babies.
And it's like, girl,
how could you know? They had the, right, most innocent job in the world working at the dang. Right. And she didn't even care if they had their little friends there.
Right. And she was like, they were probably helping them close. Like, that's like the saddest thing about this, too, is that we're just teenage kids living their lives.
I hate that.
That is one I never thought we would see solved.
No.
I never thought.
And that just goes to show you, like, the answer is just lurking around a corner somewhere.
Look at how many things are being solved all the time. So it's all new stuff. So I know Texas is the South. It's, we don't really cover much Texas stuff, but yeah, so much of his stuff happened in Tennessee.
I mean, he blanketed the South, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I was texting you about it, I was like, I'd never even heard his name before. I did not realize all of this. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is just what we know.
Yeah.
There's so many more victims out there we don't even know about.
Because you don't just start by attacking people.
No.
It escalates.
No. And you've got to think the Yogurt Shop Murders, that was really early in his, like, career.
Very early.
That was very early. So I think it probably just got worse from there.
Phew.
Yep.
Well, glad he's dead.
Yep. We're not missing anything by that guy. So, thanks, guys.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.